Praise the Lord. Dear friends, the Jews of Jesus' time in Palestine were waiting for a Redeemer, one to come to liberate them from their enemies and to establish a kingdom for them on earth, with Jerusalem as the center, to which they hoped the whole world would come. This expectation concerning the coming one and the coming kingdom took various shapes. In one stream of thought, they expected that the Lord himself would come and establish his kingdom. Another stream of thought concentrated on an agent whom God will use in order to establish his rule on earth. And the one who will establish this kingdom of God on earth was called the one to come. And this one to come could be a Messiah, a royal figure. That's what we saw in our last session. The Messiah to come, the son of David, the king who will establish the kingdom of Israel, the king who will liberate the people from foreign domination and make them a world empire. This was one of the streams of hope concerning the one to come. But there was equally important other streams as well. We return to the conversation of the Jewish leaders with John the Baptist reported by the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 21. When John the Baptist said that he was not the Messiah, the people asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Two terms, Elijah and prophet, and both focus on one particular aspect of the one to come, the prophet. A prophet like Elijah or Elijah himself, or another prophet. Today we want to analyze these two concepts, the one to come as Elijah or the prophet. Now, coming to Elijah, we know Elijah was a prophet, or the greatest of prophets ever sent to Israel. Even though the book of Deuteronomy calls Moses as the greatest prophet, the Jews as a whole considered Elijah as the prophet. The prophet of fire, who came from the desert without any preparation and also disappeared in the desert. Elijah was a mighty prophet who could dethrone kings from their thrones and who could also put kings on the throne, who could confront the entire nation with the word of God. We saw him on Mount Carmel, confronting more than 400 prophets and priests of Baal and the representatives of the kings, and thousands of people gathered on the mountain, challenging the entire nation to take a decision, an unequivocal decision, either for God, Yahweh, or for Baal. An unflinching champion of Yahwism. That is Elijah. Elijah, who stood before God on Mount Horeb, and who received the commission to proclaim the word of God, not only to the people of Israel, but also to the Gentiles, to the Syrians. Not only proclaim the word, but establish the kingdom, anoint kings, and dethrone other kings. A mighty prophet. He is the one who was sent to the field of Jezreel, where Naboth's blood was shed by a greedy king, Ahab, and confront him with the word of God and announce his impending judgment. In this field where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, "The dogs will lick your blood too," he told King Ahab. So this is Elijah. And Elijah, after having completed what God has entrusted to him, was taken up. The Bible narrates his departure in a very dramatic way. Elijah, with his disciple Elisha, were walking, and Elijah was aware that his time had come to depart, to return to God from whom he had come. In the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind to heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." When he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in pieces. So this is Elijah taken up into heaven. And from this belief that Elijah was taken up into heaven, the people believed that he would come again. So here we have the basis of the hope that Elijah will return. And this hope is expressed in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1, and chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 1. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me." The Lord is sending a messenger. The Lord who is coming to judge the people will send a messenger in order to prepare the people to receive or to meet the judge. And who is this messenger? In chapter 3, it is not mentioned, not explicitly stated who this messenger is. But in chapter 4, verse 5, the prophet explains who this messenger is. "Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come to and strike the land with a curse." So the messenger is prophet Elijah, who is to come before the last day, the day of judgment, and to proclaim the coming of the Lord and prepare the people through repentance to receive blessing from God. And this hope that Elijah will come was very much active and alive during the time of Jesus. The book of Sirach, chapter 48, verses 9 and 10. Tell us about the coming of the prophet Elijah. "You were taken up by a whirlwind of fire, in a chariot with the horses of fire. At the appointed time it is written, you are destined to calm the wrath of God before it breaks out in fury, to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and to restore the tribes of Jacob." So Elijah was supposed to come back to this earth to preach repentance, and through repentance lead the people to reconciliation, reconcile the parents with children and children with parents. So that is the most basic unit of humanity is the family. So the reconciliation of the family should somehow spread to the entire world. So Elijah was supposed to come, preach repentance and lead people to reconciliation, so that when God comes to judge, the Lord will find a people prepared not to be condemned but to be saved. So of all the attributes of Elijah, the historical Elijah, one particular aspect is taken in this expectation, that of preaching repentance. In fact, all the prophets did preach repentance, did call people to repentance and reconciliation with God and neighbors. So this was one of the expectations among the people of Israel concerning the one to come. So the leaders of Israel asked John the Baptist, "Are you Elijah?" John said, "I am not." But later, Jesus would say that John was Elijah. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, reporting the transfiguration, and when they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus told them, not to speak about what they have seen. So chapter 9, verses 9 and followings. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, "Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He said to them, "Elijah is indeed coming first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings and be treated with contempt? But I tell you that Elijah has come, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him." So Jesus himself identifies John the Baptist as Elijah returned. Not in person, of course, in the spirit. So this is one of the streams of expectation, that Elijah would come to call people to repentance. There is another aspect of the coming of Elijah in the popular belief, the time of Jesus. Elijah was supposed to come not only to call people to repentance, but also to redeem people who were in extreme suffering, especially the contempt criminals who were under torture, under severe pain. When they call, when they cry out, God will send Elijah to console and comfort them. That's how the people standing by the cross misunderstood the cry of the dying Jesus. Jesus cried out from the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Eli in Hebrew is my God. El plus E is my God. But it is also an abbreviation of the word, of the name Elijah. Eli Yahu is the full name we call Elijah. For Eliyahu can be abbreviated as Eli. And now the people thought that Jesus dying on the cross was crying out to Elijah. That's why they said, "Let us wait and see if Elijah comes to redeem him." So it was hoped that when a contempt criminal cries out to God for help, Elijah would be sent by God. So Elijah. This is one aspect of the expectation concerning the prophet. But there was another trend in the popular expectation concerning the one to come. That is what the Pharisees ask, "Are you the prophet?" It's not any prophet, but a particular prophet. A prophet to come at the end of times. A prophet who is to come to initiate the eschaton, or the last thing, the kingdom. And this prophet was supposed to be a prophet like Moses, either Moses himself coming back or a prophet like Moses. And this expectation was based on a prophecy in the book of Deuteronomy attributed to Moses himself. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, speak about a prophet like Moses. We should know the context in which this prophecy was pronounced. The context is the book of Deuteronomy, just before the death of Moses. The whole book of Deuteronomy is presented as the last words of Moses addressed to the people of Israel in the plains of Moab. Moses was aware that he was not going to enter the Canaan, land, promised land, and he would not be there to guide the people, to communicate the word of God to them as he used to do. It was Moses who was the mediator between God and people from the beginning of liberation in Egypt to the end of his coming to the plains of Moab. For 40 years, Moses told the people the word of God, communicated the word of God to them. He led them, he guided them. Now he knows that he will be no more with them to give the word of God. Now, how are these people to listen to God? How are they to find out God's will when they come to the promised land, or the land of Canaan? The people of the land had their magicians, their mediums. And they had their witchcraft and all sorts of arts of communicating with the unknown. And Moses said, such a practice is not allowed for you. God will send someone to teach you what you should believe, what you should do. And there is, in this context, we have the prophecy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your people. You shall heed such a prophet. So God will raise a prophet for the people of Israel from among themselves. This, as in the prophecy concerning the Messiah, has two different levels of meaning and of interpretation. On the first level, Moses is promising, or God is promising through Moses, that he would always send a prophet. The Israelites will always have a prophet to tell them what God wants of them, a prophet who communicates God's word. An uninterrupted chain of prophets will be guiding the people in their ways. But then came a time, sometime in the 4th century BC, when there was no more prophet coming to Israel. The last prophet, Malachi, died sometime in the 4th century, and then after that there was no more prophet. And during this time, the people realized that the prophecy of Deuteronomy had a deeper meaning. It was not speaking about an uninterrupted chain of prophets alone, but also concerning a particular prophet who is to come at the end of ages. And then this prophet they call the prophet. So the prophet is a particular individual who is to come at the end of time to inaugurate the eschatological era, the kingdom of God. And John was asked, are you the prophet? So the prophet means the prophet like Moses. And what would this prophet do? He would do what Moses did. And what did Moses do? Moses liberated the people from the slavery in Egypt, not by the power of arms and weapons. Moses was empowered by God. It is by the outstretched arm of God, the power of God, that people were liberated from Egypt. So in a miraculous way, with the power of God, the prophet like Moses would liberate the people from foreign domination, the Israelites expected. So liberation from slavery was one of the aspects of the life of Moses. The second, he was the mediator of a covenant and the giver of law. So a prophet like Moses, when he comes, he will mediate a new covenant. The covenant that was broken will be reestablished through the prophet like Moses. And he would give new laws or new interpretation to the old law. Prophet, lawgiver, mediator of covenant, liberator. These are the aspects expected of the prophet like Moses. So when John the Baptist was asked, are you the prophet? These were the hopes the people were entertaining. And these were the hopes the people had in mind when they wanted to make Jesus king. In John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, we have already seen when the people saw the miracle, they told themselves, they said to themselves, he is the prophet who is to come into this world. And with this realization, they came in order to make him king. The prophet and king. Two aspects, two concepts fusing into one in trying to make Jesus the king. So this is the one to come. In the popular expectation, the one to come could be the Messiah, the Davidic king. The one to come could be Elijah returning to call to repentance. The one to come could be a prophet like Moses who will inaugurate the kingdom of God and establish the rule of people with the power of God. There were also other expectations, though not so prevalent as these three. For example, the concept of the Son of Man, expressed in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, or the servant of God in the chapters 40 to 55 of the book of Isaiah, especially the concept of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. All these were expectations concerning the coming one. But when we come to focus our attention on the expectations of people, we come up with three words: Messiah, Elijah, and the prophet. So now, how did Jesus correspond, or Jesus fulfill these hopes? Did he fulfill the hope? Was he the Messiah the people expected? Was he the Elijah, or was he the prophet, or was he something else? Could the people accept Jesus, or could the people see in Jesus the fulfillment of these prophecies, their expectations? We have to see what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. And we have also to see why the people could not understand him. That will be the theme of our next study about the person of Jesus. Now we close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us prophets, Moses, Elijah, John the Baptist, and finally your son as the last and eschatological prophet, to reveal your will, your authentic word. Enable us to listen to your word, to understand it, accept it, and to surrender our will to your word. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.